Flight 3407 brings calls in Congress for a closer look at the regionals. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Time to start off a new week with Bob Miller, publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also proprietor of Bob Miller Flight Training at Buffalo Lancaster Airport, and WIVB Channel 4's aviation analyst in Buffalo, New York. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine, but how are you handling all this newfound stardom of being on TV all the time?
Well, I tell you, when stardom is based upon the continuation of air disasters, it leaves you, very little quality time to think about it.
Well, I understand, and it is interesting that they are calling on you. I would suspect that if they called a lot of other flight schools or pilots when these things go wrong, they might not get a whole lot of usable content for their newscast.
Well, I run around with a number of airline pilots and a number of employees of other flight schools, and clearly they can't talk. They are employed by somebody who has asked them to refrain from giving any kind of a public announcement or evaluation of what happened. They're just constrained by the fact that they're an employee someplace. I also have a couple of good contacts over at our local FAA office in Rochester, the FISDO, and I'm always tempted to call those folks and, just say off the record, give me your take. And, of course, I'm always get a response that, Bob, we can't talk about that, so don't even bother asking. But here I am out there, I'm beholden to myself and not an employer, and that's one of the tremendous advantages of being self-employed, if you will. You can be your own person. So because of that, I it's not that I'm any better than anybody else, but as you indicated, I'm probably the only one that can speak on the subject.
Well, Bob, let's talk about Continental Connections Flight 3407. You made reference to it in a couple of places in the current edition of Over the Airwaves. It just came out. Tell us what's going on with 3407 now. You say the results are in.
Well, the results are in, and what I think is going to happen is this is going to go down in aviation history as a landmark tragedy, a landmark crash, much the same as the two airliners that collided over the Grand Canyon several decades ago that gave really impetus to the need for widespread improved ATC and radar coverage. This accident is replete with examples, horrible examples of deficiencies that now exist within the flight training community, both at the primary flight training level and with regard to the regional carriers and the training that they're getting. As you know, Congressman Chris Lee has put through an amendment to the FAA Reauthorization Act calling for a GAO study of airline hiring practices and flight training, and this is a direct result of this terrible accident. Once that study is completed, we're going to see a huge fallout, substantial change in the industry, and hopefully it'll be for the good.
Okay, now Chris Lee's amendment was offered on May 22nd. Did it? I didn't see any further coverage of it. Did it become part of the House version of that bill?
Yes, the amendment did pass, and it is part of the reauthorization bill. But the reauthorization bill is still being debated. So, it can be amended out, I suppose. But curiously, and this is something that kind of rankled me more than anything else, when the amendment was being proposed, I sent a copy of the amendment to a colleague of ours, J.J. Greenway, who is the chief instructor at the Air Safety Foundation and the AOPA offices. And I said, J.J., this is something that AOPA really needs to get behind. They're calling for a GAO look at our industry, and I think this is something that AOPA could, in good faith and open honesty, try to shed some light on the deficiencies of our industry. And I asked that they prepare a response that I could include in the upcoming issue of Over the Airways and just simply get back with me with regard to their stance. I didn't hear anything. They offered nothing. Now, I don't know if AOPA on their own through other channels has taken a position on this, but I hope our listeners, prod AOPA. This is a great opportunity to get in there and shed some light again on our industry rather than to perhaps stonewall it or maintain the status quo.
Well, Bob, let's assume that that this comes to pass and there is an in-depth investigation. At some point, it's going to be taken out of our hands, and the flying public is going to want input into this, and they'll be on the front lawn with torches and pitchforks to get it done. We may not like the form it takes if we let it get to that point.
You know, the point you're making is profound, Paul. Unless we police ourselves, the Congress is going to police it for us. Unless we as an industry get behind and call for change, systematic change that we approve, that we like, we can do this surgically. If the Congress gets behind it and the GAO gets behind it, it's going to be surgery by chopping axe. But nothing's happening. We're continuing to see the same problems in the industry throughout. We hear nothing from our industry leaders about legislative change, changing the rules. My good friend Doug Stewart and his fine efforts with a safe organization, they're now talking about working eventually towards changing Part 61, improving Part 61 that governs the training of flight instructors and the qualifications and recurrency requirements of pilots. This needs to be done, but it isn't. It isn't, and perhaps I'm growing impatient. Others are growing impatient. But, you know, I get media calls now almost daily relating to, you know, a continuous running of air disasters. You know, we continue to have nearly one fatal accident a day in the United States in general aviation. Airlines, which had been the gold standard, in my opinion, of safety, now we're beginning to see, you know, really questionable practices that are finding their way into the airline operations. You know, this whole thing is going to come tumbling down upon us in ways we will not like. Let me just say very quickly, in defense of the opposition, if you will, I am training a student right now that has traveled to our flight school from Hong Kong. He's obtaining his instrument ticket, and he flies routinely, or he works routinely in Beijing as a manufacturer's representative. And we've had a lot of opportunity to talk about what it's like to fly in the Orient and what it would be like to try to fly in China. It can't be done. The rules, the regulations, the limitations are just so onerous it will never happen. We don't want that here. We certainly don't want that here. But as you say, if the public starts burning, you know, crosses and effigies on the front lawn against general aviation, then we very well could have that unless we as an industry seriously step up to the plate and take significant steps to remove some of these problems. And we can spend hours talking about what these problems are. We can list them right here.
Well, actually, we won't do that today. But, Bob, when we do come back, you had a heading on one of your articles called Complacency to Catastrophe that related to Flight 3407. And I want to get into that in a moment. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. And we're talking about complacency as it played a factor in the crash of Continental Connections Flight 3407 back on February 12th near Buffalo. In fact, just a few miles from where Bob lives. And Bob, you had an article headed Complacency to Catastrophe in the current edition of Over the Airwaves. Tell us how you relate what happened on 3407 to the general aviation world.
Very simple. As the findings of the investigation unfolded, we have discovered and we know now beyond any shadow of doubt that what took place on that tragic evening was very simply a failure on the part of the flight crew, the pilot or the co-pilot, to bring the power back up after the autopilot leveled the aircraft at its assigned altitude of 2,300 feet. That simple failure to bring the power up, as every student pilot knows, as every private pilot knows, that once we level off, we have to bring the power up to maintain altitude. Now, this wasn't a skill deficiency on the part of the pilot so much as it was simply not paying attention to the store. That created a stall situation, a resultant stall shaker, and then we had a skill deficiency problem result in the crew's inability to respond appropriately to the stick shaker. But as any of us know who've flown long distance cross country, flying an airplane 4 or 5 hours or after many trips can become very routine. It can border on outright boredom, and it can catch us off guard. And in an airplane, when we're caught off guard, things can happen terribly fast. Let me just tell you one very quick story that happened to me a number of years ago. I was doing repeated night instrument approaches to a local airport, night after night, doing the same approaches to similar airports in our southern tier. And after the last such approach, and these were right down to minimums, 200 feet, I called my pilot mentor. All of us should have a pilot mentor. And I called my pilot mentor, Lou Nelbone, who runs the Dunkirk Aviation over in Dunkirk, New York. And I said, "Lou, I had a problem with the approaches last night." And he said, "Well, what was the problem, Bob?" And I said, "Well, you know, after the last several approaches, I didn't get the sweaty palms. I didn't get that little pit at the bottom of my stomach as I was coming down to 200 feet and a half-mile visibility and blowing snow." And he says, "You weren't tensed up?" And I said, "No." I said, "It was like a walk in the park." He said, "Stop flying. Stop flying those approaches right now. You're losing your edge, Bob." And I had become complacent. And that, to a new instrument pilot, sounds almost unbelievable. But if we do those maneuvers day in and day out, like these Colgan pilots likely do, flying the regionals, flying 5, 6, 7 trips, 7 legs a day, day after day after day, they become complacent. And when something happens, a simple little failure to add airspeed or to add power on level off that results in a stall when you're only 1,500 feet AGL carrying 50 passengers, this is what can happen.
Well, now, this begs the obvious question, Bob. If it's your livelihood, what do? You can't just stop flying. And there are always going to be professional pilots who, you know, fly a lot of hours and fly a lot of repetition.
What you have to realize is take a good, frequent look at cases like 3407. This stuff does happen. To my brethren in general aviation, we're shielded to a great extent from aviation accidents in general aviation. You know, unless the media is talking about it, we don't believe it happens. But it does happen, and the more we read and see about it, I've been criticized in over the airwaves for spending far too much time talking about fatal general aviation accidents. But I believe in my mind, every time I read one of these accident reports, that puts another notch in my level of anxiety when I shoot an approach. If it can happen to this guy, it can happen to me. And I don't think we need to be lulled into the belief that this is that our industry is safe and getting safer. It isn't. Our industry is just as risky as it's ever been. I should say, in the hands of a proficient pilot, it is a safe activity. But let a little bit of complacency, a little bit of inattention, a little bit of incapacity, oversight, or neglect, and this thing will come up and bite you. And unfortunately, not only bites you as the pilot, it bites as many as 50 or 227 other passengers, both in the air and on the ground.
Or thousands of people who will decide not to get into general aviation in the first place.
No question about it. I mean, we've got people right now in Buffalo that won't get on the regional airlines simply because of this faulty belief that they're all bad and they're all dangerous. You know, we've got to do something to correct the problem. And I know I sound like a broken record on this, but it's not happening. Believe me, Paul, it is not happening. We're doing our dead level best to improve pilot behavior by mass mailing safety seminars and DVDs and getting them to safety seminars. And, you know, I participate in all of this as well. But, you know, we're only getting to about 15% of the pilot with all of these efforts, 15% of all the pilots. The other 85% of the pilots aren't even reading this stuff. They're not opening the mail from our general aviation organizations. In some cases, they're not receiving mail. They're not going to the safety seminars. We're not the problem. We who attend safety seminars, read publications on aviation, we're not the ones that are getting hurt here. It's the ones that are not paying attention. And the only way to get to these people, in my opinion, is to change the way they are trained and change the way they have to maintain their current currency.
Well, Bob, as always, things to think about. We'll refer folks to the newsletter to read the details on what you wrote on these topics. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Bob.
My guest has been CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. You can find Bob's writings and more information at www.overtheairwaves.com, and the June issue just went up. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.